Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're back with host Chris Ranji on The Score.
Yeah, so right there, we liked the play that we had, and we were hoping that he was going to call it or you know, get the ball snapped, and then we would have called timeout right there. But once it's under seven there, you know, then you call timeout there, then you're basically throwing the ball to the end zone. Because once it's under 12, you can't throw it inside with no timeout. And it was third going into fourth.
Just had a stroke, I think, just now. Oh, Chris Ranji with you until Bulls pregame, which is coming up at 6:45 today. It is time to go to the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, on a day that Matt Eberflus has been fired as Bears head coach. Thomas Brown has been promoted to the position. We go out to the guest line and we talk to our guy, the Bears insider here for 670 The Score. It is Mark Grody. Hello, Hall of Famer.
What's up, fellow HOF? I am told that you just had a stroke. What can I do for you? How can I help?
Well, see, I can't really tell if I'm having a stroke or if listening to certain people talk like Eberflus makes me think I'm having one, but I know there's something going on there.
I understand. I do.
What a day, huh?
Oh, my God, man. I mean, like, all of a sudden, it's funny that Matt Eberflus is kind of becoming, after being justifiably put through the ringer post game yesterday, that he's becoming a sympathetic figure because of the fact that the Bears allowed him to go on Zoom today to answer inane questions about his job, which was should have already been decided, and things like the game and whatnot. So all of a sudden it's like, oh man, so some more disorganization from the organization.
Yeah, so that's really my issue here. Because if you're casually paying attention and you heard that he held a press conference today and then he was fired a couple of hours later, you know, you might think, what's the big deal? Who cares? They moved on. That's the important thing. And I agree to an extent, but doesn't it say something about their process? He's always talking about process, but he's not going to be part of the process of choosing a full-time head coach whenever it's time. But it's just concerning to me, Grody, that it took that long, that they didn't know before 9 a.m. today. And if they did know, They allowed him to go ahead and do that anyway. But I just don't understand right. why they are so indecisive.
Yeah, I'll begrudgingly allow for them to have done their due diligence, I suppose, or at least give the appearance of that, maybe just a nod to liking Matt Eberflus, but not pushing back, postponing, canceling Matt Eberflus's Zoom was ridiculous. And not to mention the fact that we, as the media, were kind of left in the dark on the Zoom link being sent to us, which just didn't come to us until about 2 minutes before it started, despite asking questions to the folks over at the Bears of what's going on. There was zero explanation as to it. Look, you know, Matt Eberflus, as we know, took some criticism for taking as long as he did to fire Shane Waldron, and that was his process of doing his due diligence and his respect for Shane Waldron. So maybe that's what the Bears were doing, but it does seem a little bit ridiculous at this point that they would have had to go hours into the day trying to make this decision after, and unless they're not paying attention to what was going on in their locker room afterwards, and they're not paying attention to their players and what their players were saying, let alone what was happening on the field, not just at the end of the game, but also in the first half, not just that game, but the previous five games too. You can make cases for things that went tragically wrong and that you could point directly to the coaching for it. So yeah, I'm looking forward to asking some of these questions when if we eventually do get a chance to talk to Ryan Poles and find out what exactly is going on here.
Well, he has to speak now, right?
Yeah, he will. I'm being facetious, okay. But I imagine, you know, we haven't heard anything tonight, so it's if it doesn't happen tomorrow, then obviously it's going to be Monday. If it's not Monday, then I don't know what I got going for you, but it has to be. Ryan Poles has to speak Monday. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Kevin Warren. I doubt that is going to happen, but you know, if this was indeed Ryan Poles' decision and his decision alone, then he is the person that has to be accountable and he is the person that has to address the media and take all of the questions.
Yeah, let's get to the process of making this decision. And what do we think we know in terms of whose decision this actually was, how much convincing it took? Did Poles want to, or has he been wanting to make this decision, but was prevented from doing it for weeks? And maybe the Detroit game was it. That was just like the, okay, we have to allow you to do this now. And maybe we don't know, but do we have any idea?
I don't know anything at this point exact, but my guess would be that Ryan Poles probably is the one that had to be nudged in this direction, just considering how much he likes Matt Eberflus. He hired Matt Eberflus. He and Matt Eberflus came in together. I think Ryan Poles was dumbfounded last year when people were questioning whether or not Matt Eberflus should return. We remember the questions about Jim Harbaugh at the press conference at the end of the year. And he's like, no, we didn't talk to anybody, man. And to some degree, I understood it, that you have a coach who had to endure some really lousy rosters and some really hard times and a 10-game losing streak, which, you know, Matt Eberflus is not completely, you know, taken away from blame for what happened in that first year, but the roster was bad. And so now they put together what looked like a pretty good roster at the beginning of the season. And I thought it was. So I thought it would have been a little bit of poor fare for Ryan Poles to say, yeah, you're not coming along with us now. Now that we've got the roster, you're not coming with us. So Poles brings him back. Poles loves this guy, swears by this guy, and I think he's being genuine. So, you know, one thing that could have been going on in that meeting was, and my guess would be that it would have been Kevin Warren that probably would have been doing the nudging if that's how it went down. And it's possible, too, that Kevin Warren had to convince the McCaskies and George McCaskey to, look, I know that you haven't done this in 105 years, but we want to fire a coach in season. And here's Kevin Warren, hopefully, with the bullet points. Here's why this would be good for the franchise. So, you know, that's not by coincidence that they haven't fired anybody ever in season. That is a systematic thing. That is an organizational thing that comes from ownership. That absolutely comes from ownership. That they just don't believe in that. So my guess is it probably took some convincing of the owner, and probably took a little bit of convincing with the GM. But how could you not?
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Not see it yesterday. That's the clincher for everybody. And if it was Ryan Poles pushing back, or there was some serious pushback, then I got some questions about Ryan Poles, considering that the team has given up on their head coach. It was very obvious being in that locker room yesterday.
Yeah, that, and there you go. You're kind of getting to another major issue here. We saw the, and I don't know if you talked about it earlier today. I know you were on the station, but the Jaquan Brisker tweet where he had the laughing, crying emoji right around the time Eberflus was supposed to speak, which I don't know that he was listening into that, but also right after the firing, he said, "God does not make mistakes." So it's almost like he's, and I, by the way, I despise it. And celebrities and athletes do this to the most excruciating extent, where they have these vague tweets, these vague Instagram posts. I hate it. Tell me what you're talking about. So we don't have to sit here and guess. But my guess is he's talking about his head coach, or who used to be his head coach.
Yeah, he does, but Jaquan Brisker does a lot of those ambiguous,
the vague tweets. Oh,
yeah,
God.
Yeah, he does a ton of that stuff. But yeah, I mean, the timing, it's hard not to infer from that he was not a supporter of Matt Eberflus. And, you know, I know a couple of other guys in that locker room too that were not supporters of Matt Eberflus. And you know, nothing that is on the record at this point, but I'm talking about, you know, well early in the season even. So I think that, and you know, you would think, I guess it might come across as ironic that it's a defensive player where, for the most part, except recently, Matt Eberflus has been pretty good. I mean, he was very good last year. The Bears defense now has lost their way. I mean, they're a sieve when it comes to the run game, which is just jarring and alarming. So I don't know, man. I mean, I do wonder if there's more than we know too, strategically, as it concerns, even defensively and play calling wise, from the defense. And, you know, I mean, we know that there wasn't much support for Shane Waldron or Matt Eberflus on the offensive side. But, you know, this makes it even more apparent, Chris, that this was the decision that had to make, and even more baffling that it took as long as it did.
Talking with Mark Grody here, the Scores Bears insider with us on 670. And I mentioned the Andrew Whitworth tweet from a couple of days ago talking about Thomas Brown saying that he will be a head coach someday. Sean McVay had a lengthy quote about the promotion of Brown to head coach, and he praised him and gave some detail as to why he likes him. So we know it's not unusual for it's a fraternity, you know, football being in the NFL, that's part of a fraternity, and guys usually want to blow up others and say good things about them. But from everything I have heard, it seems like Thomas Brown has a lot of respect, like legit respect, and not just the typical, you know, I'm going to stick up for my guy who's also in the NFL kind of respect. Do you gather the same thing?
Yeah, and I do. Yeah, no, I think so. And Thomas Brown is impressive. He's impressive in front of the media, which is not an easy media to be comfortable in front of. He seems to have presence of mind. I mean, he was automatically more comfortable than Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron combined, it felt like, you know, and that's not everything, but there is something to that. He had a small bar to clear, though, when it came to looking better and sounding better than his predecessor. You know, Shane Waldron just seemed nervous up there. And there were times I felt bad for him. Like, it just seemed like he had like a certain degree of anxiety up there. And yes, there is something to having presence, having the aura, as Caleb Williams said. But on the overall, Chris, I think everybody has gotten carried away with Thomas Brown fever. It's three games. He is, you know, he sounds great. He says the right things. But there's been a lot of guys in the NFL that have sounded great and commanded a room and said the right thing. And there's been a real problem with the Bears hiring practices as head coaches through the years. I'm not saying that you have to have had head coaching experience, but my goodness, in this spot going into this season, if you hired Thomas Brown to be your head coach, you are taking a risk, and the Bears cannot afford to take a risk. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe we'll find out in these next five games, and what a bear of a schedule this guy has to deal with at San Fran, at Minnesota, home Detroit, home Seattle, at Green Bay to end the season. So I'll keep an open mind, and I'm not just going to, you know, summarily dismiss the possibility that this guy might just have it and he's a head coach. But my gut says, and, you know, from what I've seen and what I know, how could you possibly hire this guy to be your head coach? And then it's more of an indictment too. If this guy is your head coach, what the hell were you thinking in the interview process where you decided that Shane Waldron was more qualified to have the bigger job than Thomas Brown? But my answer is, and well, keep an open mind, like I said, and I like Thomas Brown just like everybody else in that room, and he's going to be great for the media, and who doesn't love a guy who is a straight shooter? But it seems a little silly to me to think that, yeah, this guy's ready to be a head coach all of a sudden in the NFL.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you on every bit of that. And I know the concern is, they let the new head coach come in, whoever it is, and that person is going to get to hire his staff. He's going to get to hire his offensive coordinator, which means Brown would be gone. And then maybe Thomas Brown goes somewhere else and flourishes. And then within a couple of years, he's a head coach and he's dominating. I think that's what the concern is. But I would say you can't be worried about that.
No,
right?
Yeah. 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 No, you can't. You cannot let that piece do it. And yeah, maybe he will be. And he seems to be on his way. And this chaotic, terrible season for the Bears has been good for Thomas Brown. He has been promoted twice in this season.
In two and a half weeks.
Yeah. This guy's a baller, dude.
Talking about that right off the top, that this dude 2.5 weeks ago has gone from he was a passing coordinator, then he's the offensive coordinator, now he's the head coach. And some guys are like 20 years in the game and they never get to that point. It's funny, but, you know, good for him, right?
He was the passing game coordinator, who, by the way, did not really have a relationship with Caleb Williams. I mean, not any kind of dialogue. I mean, obviously no rift between them by any means or anything like that. It's just their jobs, you know, ironically, passing game coordinator. There wasn't a lot of interaction between the two. What is also amazing to think about, too, because at this moment, Chris, we don't know if he is Thomas Brown is going to be calling the offensive plays. So it is conceivable that...
That was my next question.
Yeah, Caleb Williams, Chris, will have had, by the time the season starts next year, he'd be on his fourth play caller. I mean, thank God it's Caleb Williams, because he seems like he has the intellect, the exterior, the interior, all of the terriers to handle what's going on. Could you imagine if that was like Mitch Trubisky having to deal with that, or Justin Fields? I mean, wow.
Yeah. It's funny that you say that, because I think it was just a couple of weeks ago or maybe less that I was watching the game, and I like to tweet during the games because what else would I do? And I said, I think the story at the end of this season is going to be that Caleb did everything he did, even though Matt Eberflus is still here. Like, he did everything in, you know, despite his coaching staff.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's in itself impressive. He might even be a little bit better than he is now with a different staff, maybe a lot better, but he's still really good.
Yeah. He has overcome quite a bit. You know, I mean, one of the things too, and this is like starting to feel like ancient history, but, and I've said this before, I did understand what in theory Shane Waldron wanted to do with Caleb Williams. And that was to put everything on his plate, because this is it. This is the guy. This is the generational quarterback. It's the best prospect since Andrew Luck or whomever you want to fill in the blank with on that one. So they treated him like a big boy. They put a lot on his plate, but it took other players like Mercedes Lewis saying, do things differently, take it down a notch. Let's not coddle this guy. Let's do something different in terms of schemes. So Shane Waldron failed to, and Matt Eberflus too, because, you know, as we learned, and I hate to keep going back, but it's all worthwhile now. Go back to Hard Knocks, and one of when I was asked, like, what did you get derived from Hard Knocks? They were force feeding us Matt Eberflus coaching the quarterback.
Yes.
Like Matt Eberflus was going to be the one to develop this guy, which I pointed out in real time. I'm like, what is it? Like, every episode, there's Flus sitting in a room with the kid, like he's going to have anything to do with it. So, yeah, to me, that was just ridiculous and fraudulent.
I had the same feeling during all those episodes. I was thinking, you know how whenever the White Sox would they'd put up like an Instagram post of the Bears, like, hey, good luck this season for the, you know, good luck Bears, go get them. And all the responses are, stay away from my football team because we don't want your stank on our football team. I kind of had that feeling about Flus, which is not nice, but I kind of had that feeling like, do not let this person be the one who is in charge of developing him.
Yeah, and that's where I was like, my God, I hope this Shane Waldron, who I knew very little about him, and I know his resume and, you know, from where he came and all that in Seattle, but I like that guy Flus, and then this offensive coordinator, these are the guys that were put in charge of developing your generational quarterback. And like Ryan Poles, where you at? You know what I mean? In a situation like that. I mean, come on. And like maybe the best coaching he did was in those fake little Hard Knocks things. You know what I mean? Like maybe that was the best of it right there.
So there's going to be Grody, and who knows where the offseason goes and how the rest of this one goes and how Thomas Brown does. But if they get a head coach from the outside, what do you think the level of attractiveness of this job is, given the quarterback, given everything, the organization, how they operate, what the power structure is? How attractive is it to coach the Bears.
Yeah, I still think it's very attractive, and yes, the organization has to be taken into account, and maybe that will scare away a candidate or two, but it's still the Chicago market. You do have what looks to be a promising quarterback. I mean, we don't know yet. We don't know the ceiling of Caleb Williams, but it does appear that despite it all, as you said, that he is on the right path, on the right trajectory. So, and then, you know, when you have guys like Matt Eberflus, who had never sniffed a head coaching job before, maybe actually he had, but like, you're telling me a first-time head coach who's getting his first crack at this thing is not going to jump at the chance to go to Chicago. When you talk about guys that are probably going to have, you know, the pick of the litter, like a Ben Johnson, and I would think that he would be attracted to the Bears job, especially since he knows the division well. You know, somebody like Bill Belichick, I don't know if they, like, that would actually go against the Bears' typical hirings, because somebody like Bill Belichick would want to come in and have a whole lot of power too. And I don't know if that is something that they would accept at this point. But I think the short answer to the question is yes, believe it or not, even through it all, I do think the Bears is still it always is an attractive job. And it always does feel like, and it feels like this in 31 other NFL cities when their head coach gets fired, it does feel like chaos and organizational breakdown. And it felt like that for the Bears, but I don't think they've ever had trouble attracting candidates to be the head coach of the Chicago Bears.
All right, Grody, last thing for you. You have any thoughts on the pitch clock?
It's the greatest thing ever. I was wrong and you were right. And
man.
Yeah, that was something, man, wasn't
it? I love you, buddy.
But by the way, I'm doing this thing via Zoom on my sick microphone. The Zoom text that I got from Sean Sears said ISU Hall of Fame reunion. And I was like, I thought it was actually a Hall of Fame reunion. I'm like, where the hell's my Zoom thing? Like, I'm looking for it. I'm like, And there it is. There he goes. I'm like, I was like, I don't want to go to a Hall of Fame reunion, man. I'm in. I don't have to go back now, right?
Hey,
I don't need to.
No, yeah. You're in. You got your plaque.
You switched
on the wall,
samples.
Man.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Yes.
Jurassic.
At that podium.
Hey, speak. Yes, so was I.
Yeah, I know. Before me.
Yeah. So speaking of,
you guys should have been in the first class together. I don't get it.
I agree
with you. I'm still embittered by it. Do you still have your little trophy, or did you just get a plaque?
Yeah, I got a little trophy. It looks like they went into a trinket store at an airport and just put a little plaque on it. But I'm proud to have it.
I am too. I am too. Love you, ISU.
I love it. Hey, by the way, Illinois State in the playoffs tomorrow, 11 o'clock. They take on Missouri State. SEMO. They take on SEMO tomorrow.
Who's SEMO?
Southeast Missouri State.
I don't talk like that. Yeah, you've been watching way too much Redbird football, man. Still the Gateway? Is it still the Gateway? Or is it Missouri Valley?
Dude, it's the Missouri Valley.
Well, it used to. When I was there, it was the Missouri Valley Conference for basketball. And then Gateway Conference for football.
Yeah.
Right. But now they're all in one big happy MVC. Okay.
Yeah, now it's the MVC. And you can only win the national title nowadays if you're in one of the Dakotas. You have to be either North Dakota or South Dakota. Those are the only teams that win anymore.
That's amazing, man. It's the only sport where they're like the powerhouses, right?
I know. It's South Dakota.
Yeah, good for them. Good for them.
Hey, Mark Grody and Gabe Ramirez tomorrow at Rally House, Wrigleyville, from 8 to 11 a.m. before Illinois takes on Northwestern at Wrigley Field. Mark and Gabe broadcasting live from the Rally House. You can enter to win, oh my God, a $25 gift card. From tees to hoodies and jackets to game day flair, there's something for every fan at Rally House. I wish I could go see you, Mark, but I can't. Have fun there tomorrow.
Yeah, well, James Big Cat Williams going to be on with us. Jeremy Werner. You probably know Jeremy Werner.
Yeah. Covers the Illini. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's going to jump on with us, and who knows what else. But I think we got a pretty good topic for tomorrow. So
Devon McGregor could give you Provacin.
You find this man. Lock me. What about the one-armed guy? Is he got two hickeys? All right, Chris, go do some more show. What time are you on till tonight?
like another 10 minutes.
Oh, what do we got coming up?
Bulls, baby. Bulls, Celtics.
That's right. I was just at the United Center a second ago doing some Bears talk on the brand new Chicago Sports Network. They got a cool setup over there.
Oh,
go Bulls. Yeah.
Look at you. Nice setup over there.
David Haw and Ruthie Polinsky. Shout outs. Yeah, they're just such good, talented people, Chris. They are.
Oh, man. Good. So are you, buddy. You really
Thanks,
are.
Thanks, man. And you too. Have a great 10 minutes, Chris.
Bye, Mark.
Bye.
That's Mark Grody.
Unlock me.
Scores Bears insider. He has everything, all the information, all the thoughts, and all the Provasic. 312-644-6767. A few more minutes, you can talk with me, Chris Ranji, before we get the Bulls basketball on the Score.
Don't tell me you want a robot umpire calling balls and strikes.
We're back with host Chris Ranji on the Score.
Snap to Williams. Back in three. He's going to try and run. And he is engulfed again. Sack number 5 for the Lions. Za'Darius Smith back on the field. Time is ticking away. Down to 25 seconds. The Bears are out of field goal range. They have one timeout. It's 3rd and forever. Williams at the line tapping his head. We're down to 15 seconds here. Caleb Williams out of the shotgun. 3rd and long. Time is moving. Gotta go under 10 seconds now. Oh my goodness. Back to Williams. He's ready to throw. He'll throw it down the middle of the field. Incomplete at the horn. The game is over. The Bears won't even get to 4th down. They leave Detroit with a timeout in their pocket. And the Lions, for the first time since 16, have won on Thanksgiving. 23-20, the final score. How in the world can that happen?
Jason Benetti on the call on Westwood One on the radio side for what was the old final nail, the old straw, the final straw. What was it? Broke the camel's back? Pick your cliche. That was it. What happened yesterday?
Camel's back.
That's it. And then the final nail in the coffin.
The nail in the camel's back that broke.
Well, the camel would probably be fine. But Matt Eberflus isn't fired today. He was relieved of his duties after a very underwhelming 14-32 record with the Bears, in which he was 5-19 in one score games. Just absolutely brutal. Absolutely brutal. And I don't know if you saw the statistic, Sean Sears. It was released by Optostats about the 221 coaches who have had the amount of games that Matt Eberflus had where there were... Well, actually, hold on. Scratch what I just said, because I'm giving you a different Optostats stat. But there was a... Oh, my gosh, I've lost it. It was with one score games, whatever it was, he was last. Out of 221, his record was worst of the one score games. That's what it was.
That's not surprising. I mean, it feels like they've lost every single one of them. And then when you like look at the record, it's like, oh, they have.
it's so bad.
It's crazy.
It's just so bad.
And you can't even just say it's like, oh, well, you know, the first couple of years rebuilding. Like, he's just never won these games ever.
I know. And that's... I know that there was this feeling that maybe he deserved another opportunity, that they're just so close. They're so close. I mean, look how close they are. At some point, you have to win those games. It can't be... Close isn't good enough. And it's definitely not good enough 3 years into the whole... to the whole deal. You know, you absolutely have to be better than that. And I know we don't really have to relitigate it because it's over. Part of me with this entire Flus thing is I want to still be mad about it. they made the decision today to move on from him, which they ripped the Band-Aid, they moved on. That they've got a different guy in there now on an interim basis. We'll see what happens next year. But they did the hard part. They moved on from him. It should have been easy. For them, it's difficult. And they did that. But it's almost like when somebody does something really rotten to you and you think they're not going to apologize for it. But the first thing they do is they apologize for it profusely and they mean it. You know how you have that feeling of, okay, I'm still really mad at you and I want to be mad at you, but you did apologize, but I'm still mad at you. I kind of feel that way right now about them. If that makes sense. It's almost like they took so long to make this decision. They put us in such a bad spot that I just want to be angry. And I'm going to have to get over that. We're all going to have to get over that. But what an absolute mess this has been. I hope the path that they have charted for themselves is better. I hope they're in the right direction. Moving away from the head coach was the first good step. But let's hope this works, folks. Let's hope their offseason is a good one. Glad I got to be with you on this night, on what was an historic day for the Chicago Bears. They fired Matt Eberflus. Thomas Brown has been promoted in the interim. We'll talk to you again sometime soon. Have a terrific rest of your night and weekend. Your Thanksgiving weekend. Enjoy it. Enjoy Bulls basketball. They got the Celtics, and the pregame show is next. I'm Chris Ranji on The Score.